On today's program, songwriter-performer Joshua Radin talks about his new album and upcoming performance here in Indianapolis. I'm Richard Brendan, and the conversation begins now. Cleveland-born songwriter-performer Joshua Radin has earned a loyal following for his wistful meditations and hit songs. His rootsy pop track, I'd Rather Be With You from Simple Times, topped the iTunes album chart at number one and hit top 10 in 10 different countries. The hushed, emotionally raw Winter and Closer from his 2006 album We Are Here received a 4-star review in Rolling Stone magazine. Radin's compositions have a proven track record, having been soundtracked on shows like Grey's Anatomy, American Idol, Parenthood, and House. His songs have been used more than 100 times in various films and television shows, making him a behind-the-scenes artist whose music is heard most everywhere. In 2008, Ellen DeGeneres asked Joshua to perform at her wedding. Radin said, I played 6 of my songs, and Ellen and Portia just sat right in front of me looking at each other, crying, and looking at me. I actually teared up a little, and that's never happened to me before. Live performances have always been Radin's lifeblood. After stints as a screenwriter in New York and as an inner-city art teacher in Chicago, he moved to Southern California to test the waters as a musician. When his father gave him a guitar on a whim for his birthday, Radin taught himself how to play, and soon after, in 2004, he wrote his first song, Winter, about a fractured relationship with his longtime girlfriend. The song so moved his college friend Zach Braff that the actor passed it along to a producer on his TV show Scrubs. 3 weeks later, it was played on the show. Buzz from the Scrubs show was fast and furious, crashing the NBC site and winning Radin thousands of new fans. Joshua has a new album out now, and he'll be performing also on February 15th here in Indianapolis. He's here on today's program to talk about both. Joshua Radin, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It seems like I'm seeing and hearing you everywhere these days. I think you were on Ellen's show again in the last week or two, right?
Oh, yeah. I was on the day the record came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I was watching TV, and a Subaru ad came on. And there in the background was Beautiful Day.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I actually design every Subaru automobile, so I figured they... used one of my songs. I was like, you know, I got to design all their cars just to get my music out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what a perfect car for you to design. It kind of fits the lifestyle that I figure that you'd like to have.
And you know what is true? When I was a kid growing up, when they came out with that Subaru Outback, I'm big into camping. And so that was like, that was the car to have. I never got one. I couldn't afford one. But that was the car. That was like my dream car when I was growing up.
Absolutely. Well, I hear that's the Colorado state car.
When I toured in Colorado, it's true that's all you see are Subaru Outbacks with like great mountain bike, you know, racks on the top. And everyone looks like burly mountain men who drive them. So it makes me very envious.
Well, speaking of Beautiful Day, let me open up with this. You do a lot of work with inner city kids, and back in the day, you actually taught art in the inner city in Chicago. And you there was a quote. You said, "More than drawing, I taught those kids in Chicago a general perspective of the world, looking at something and not being overwhelmed. It's how I've always looked at life. I've always wanted to wake up every day and have the opportunity to be creative, to express what's going on in my head and heart, and to be able to connect with the world in that way. I may have started playing music later in life than my peers, but I love living with the idea that it's never too late." And Joshua, that line about it's always how I've looked at life, I thought about the song Beautiful Day and many others that you've written. And I was wondering, as you have been teaching from time to time inner city kids really across the country, that message, where did you pick up that message?
I think it was just from my parents and my teachers growing up. I was very fortunate to have great teachers that inspired me. And I don't know. It's just, and I think along the way, I learned that from kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I really do think it's the most valuable lesson to learn throughout one's life.
Is, oh, absolutely.
Is that it's never too late to try something new.
Yeah.
And as long as you are able to change your perspective. I remember, I think it came about when I was a kid, and I was obsessed with the idea of going traveling to the moon. You know, I always thought that would be the coolest thing a human being could do. But I obviously then realized, I remember seeing the movie The Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was very, very young, but I saw it in the movie theater. And I remember seeing that movie and saying, wow, I didn't know you had to be like a, you know, I just thought you could just, you know, like it was like an airplane. I didn't know you had to be like a brilliant scientist and in really good shape.
Uh-huh.
And, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where I decided early on that I was not going to be an astronaut. But I always thought that it would be the coolest thing in the world to be able to look down on the Earth with that perspective. And if then it came into my mind that if everyone in the world was given that gift, that you could go out into space and see how small we really are, then I think the world would be a much different place. I think we'd all realize how similar we are and the differences that we... You know, everyone says, oh, variety is the spice of life. And, you know, there's all these cliches about diversity and all this, and it's great. And that's true in a sense, but I think it depends on how you look at it, because in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're just all so similar. And that's why I tend to write about more universal themes like love,
yeah,
because it's something we all relate to.
With all the traveling that you've done, especially with the first five albums, this is your sixth studio album coming out, what have been your observations? You've been on the road a lot in the past, and what have you learned all the various places you've gone?
Well, I think I started out thinking that I wanted to see the entire world and see all the differences between people, and year after year, it goes the opposite way in my mind, where I'm just, everyone I meet, I'm like, we're all pretty damn similar.
Yeah.
Why are we fighting? Border, you know what I mean? And I think that's what an interesting time we're living in right now, that the democratization of information is going to bring about one community.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trend. That's what's going to happen. We're, and you see it everywhere. The internet is, it's just the you know, when people are able, like in countries, you know, in the Middle East, where they're not allowed to see, they're not, you know, where they don't allow women to read, or like, it's, you know, it's unbelievably ridiculous. And we'll see that the more and more the internet is, when people find information and see how other, you know, it's going to break down barriers for the entire world. And that's going to be a very interesting, well, it's happening now. So I think it's an incredibly interesting time to live in. And, someone the other day was asking me that question, if you could have lived in any time period, what would it be? And, you know, I think, you know, 20 years ago as a kid, I might've said, oh, I would want to live in the 60s, you know, just because I love the music of the time. But the more I think about it these days, I wouldn't want to live in any other time than now.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, when I listened to this album, before I did any research for this interview, I had two instant observations. It was so, to me, obvious. First, it sounded like love letters set to music.
Yeah,
every song.
Most definitely.
And unlike your other albums, this one has female voices prevalent throughout. And,
my first album has female harmonies throughout the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
A woman named Priscilla Ahn, who was singing with me on Ellen a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she's a fantastic solo artist, so your listeners should check her out as well, if they don't know her already. She's got a nice career going herself. This album has quite a few different female vocalists. Priscilla actually sings on a song called One and Only on this album.
Mm-hmm.
There's Rosie Golan on the song. Mm-hmm. God, I'm so bad with titles. Well, even my own titles. She sings on a song called In Your Hands.
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow obviously sings on Beautiful Day.
Yeah.
A lovely artist named Aoife O'Donovan sings on the song Worlds Apart. A lovely artist named Jasmine Ash sings on Away We Go.
Mm-hmm.
There's no double ups, you know. They're all different. Then you know, I sing a high harmony on the song "Old Friend" that almost sounds like a female vocal. or "We'll Keep Running Forever." I sing a harmony on that. And then there's a song called "Let Our Sunshine Down" that my producer Tony Berg's daughter Z Berg sings a harmony on that. She has a band called Jajams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a LA super group of a bunch of people in other bands that are fantastic. They just finished their first album, and she was in a band called The Like years ago. That was her band.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, there's a lot of amazing women that sing on this record, so I was very, very fortunate.
I want to cut to a song right now off the album, and then when we come back, we'll talk about your inspiration and muse, I think. But this song, I just love the beat to this song. It's called Belong off the Onward and Sideways album. And can you share just a little bit of a backstory of that song?
Let's see. Well, I wrote that and recorded it in Stockholm, Sweden.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I was produced by my good friend Rami Yacoub,
mm-hmm.
Who was really a prolific pop music producer.
Yeah.
So we were friends, and then we decided to try to work together, and then we came up with this. I love the way it sounds. It's got a driving kick drum.
Yeah, I love the percussion in it.
Yeah, and... you know, I think, you know, a lot of people who would say, if they looked up Rami's credits, you know, it's like he's from the Max Martin camp in Sweden, you know, and now, you know, he wrote One Direction's hits and wrote and produced their record, and Britney Spears and NSYNC and, you know, boy bands
top artists,
and pop music and, you know, super pop and Nicki Minaj and, you know, all the stuff that sounds very, very dissimilar to my stuff. But it was very interesting being in a studio with someone who's coming from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he also produced the song Angels on this record as well. So, when I was writing the lyrics to this song, I was laying in bed in Stockholm, and I was writing it about the woman that this entire album is about. Because it's about alienation, and that's one of the things that we had bonded over when we first met, was that we both felt like we really didn't belong in any place when we were growing up.
Mm.
And I think all artists feel that way in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, any creative person kind of grows up feeling like they don't really fit in. And that's why we create, in a sense. We create our own worlds where we do fit in. You know, I think that's the motivation for any artist, and no matter in whatever medium you choose. But in terms of the production of the song, I remember recording it in Stockholm, and it was pouring. There was a thunderstorm going outside, and I remember hearing the boom of the thunder and wanting to kind of capture that in the production of the song. And so that kind of filtered in.
My guest today is songwriter-performer Joshua Radin. We're talking about his brand new album that's out now, Onward and Sideways, and also Joshua will be performing here in Indianapolis on February 15th. That's a Sunday, 8 p.m. at the Old National Center. And by the way, for ticket information, you can go to joshuaradin.com. But right now, we're going to take a break and listen to this second track, I believe, on Joshua's album, Belong. We'll be right back.
It's been a while. You've been walking alone. It's been a while since your heart had a home. It's been a while. You remember the way you came tumbling down, down to your knees like never before. You're at the bottom in a bottomless town.
your day. You hear it say, be strong.
Program. And Joshua, you mentioned about this beautiful lady in Stockholm, Sweden. I think I read also somewhere that you thought maybe 2014 and this year were going to be easy years for you. You were really busy for a long time, 5 albums, 7 years, touring all the time. You were taking a break. And then love found you.
Yeah, that inspiration struck.
Yes.
I didn't write this album initially. It was just a long love letter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
To try to woo this woman.
Did you write this in bed?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I'm actually pictured in the bed on the record cover.
That is the bed.
That is the bed I wrote the album from in Stockholm.
Okay. Sort of like a John and Yoko kind of thing.
I guess in a sense I had a bed in. But again, I wouldn't picture this lovely lady. I make myself vulnerable when I write the songs, and I'm very honest when I tell the stories about the songs. I just don't give names.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, you did write. How many songs did you write in wooing her? If we could.
You're hearing them.
Yeah, all of them on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I had this body of work, I just figured, okay, well. I played them for my manager, Debbie, and she said, I think you have an album here. So I said, all right, well, let's record it and put it out.
Wow. I love that. That was the inspiration. There was really no thought about another album right now, but love inspired you to do that, and you're a guy who loves love.
Yeah, exactly. I do. It's what I think about the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love the songs on here. You mentioned Sheryl Crow. Did she tape in another studio and then send that to you?
Because this song, Beautiful Day, that she sings on, mm-hmm. um, that's the only song that I didn't write for this album because it was written for the previous album, Wax
right.
Wings.
Right.
And then basically what happened was, I mean, of course, it's kind of a sign of the time, to be honest. You know, I found out that Subaru wanted to use the song in their commercial.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, well, what better way to draw attention to the new album than re-recording the song and adding it to the album. So nowadays it's funny. For years we've been we've been thinking about how do you decide what the single is? Because I've never really been a single artist. I've always considered myself more of an album artist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's a dying medium, the LP. But it is what it is, and I'm holding fast, and we'll see how long that lasts. But it's like with the radio department, when I used to be on a label, they'd say, okay, so we're picking a single. And I said, how do you pick a single? And they basically, their answer was, well, whatever song's in a car commercial. You know? I never had a song in a car commercial, so this was the first one. So I figured, okay, well, let's make this the single then. And I said, well, we need to make it new. We can't just add the song again. People are not going to charge 99 cents on iTunes for something someone's already got. So I said, let's make it a duet with someone, and Sheryl Crow was the first person in my mind, being such a fan of hers. And so I asked her, and she fortunately said yes. I was in Stockholm, so I couldn't be there for the recording. So she had just gotten off tour, and we did it over a Skype session where she recorded her vocals from her home studio.
Okay,
and it was a one take thing. I mean, she's such a consummate professional.
Yeah.
And I think most people don't even realize that before she went solo, she was a backup singer for Michael Jackson.
Mm.
I mean, the woman knows how to sing a harmony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to tell her anything. It's like, there's 15 minutes done, print, you know?
So the more you're performing and the more you're at this now, you're starting to really collaborate with the top people.
Well, I try to collaborate with people that I'm fans of.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people, I'm not going to name names, in my past that have said no.
I'm sure they'll come around here soon.
You don't keep trying.
Yeah. Yeah. So who would be like number one on your all time, I want to collaborate with this person list, whether it happens or not?
I think it would depend on the song.
Uh huh.
You know, because I'd love to collaborate with like Paul Simon or Bob Dylan, Neil Young or something like that. But I don't know if I'd want to record a love duet with any of them. You know,
especially Dylan.
I'd probably choose a female in that regard.
Yeah.
And I can't really imagine asking Bob Dylan to sing a backing harmony for me.
A sure way to get a no. Although I did read yesterday that he's releasing a CD in 50,000 publications of the AARP magazine. So, Joshua, that's a whole new audience for you out there.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yeah, well.
He released a whole record of Frank Sinatra covers. Recently,
He did, and that's the one he's releasing.
I was shocked about that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think Dylan has made his career on shocking people every time he releases something.
He has. He's a
You know, he always makes a decision that you're like, what? He did what?
Yeah,
which
well.
Which is amazing. There's no one like him.
Yeah.
You know? Nobody will ever be anywhere near a Bob Dylan.
Well, we want to go to hear Beautiful Day now, especially this version you did with Sheryl Crow. Her voice is amazing on here, and you guys really sound well together, too. It sounds great. My guest today is Joshua Radin, songwriter, performer. We're talking about his new album just came out, Onward and Sideways. He'll also be performing here in Indianapolis on February 15th at the Old National Center. Here's the classic song, Beautiful Day.
Gonna wash dust off my soul, gonna listen to some rock and roll. No cares come what may, I'm making a beautiful day. Gonna drive swim out far, 'cause I believe that the waves will wash the gray away. I'm making a beautiful day. Let me hear you say,
to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. It's a joy to have Joshua Radin on today, songwriter, performer. His new album is out, Onward and Sideways. Beautifully done. Love letters set to music. Joshua will also be here the day after Valentine's Day. How about that? February 15th, Sunday night, 8 p.m. at the Old National Center. For ticket information, you can go to joshuaradin.com. Earlier you mentioned Rami Yacoub. He's one of the top people to work with. Did you know him ahead of time, or did you meet him when you were in?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I knew him. I met him just, you know, through friends in Stockholm, and I never even thought about working with him because he's in the pop world. I just figured, oh, we come from two different perspectives in music. But he's a fantastic musician, and we became friends, and then one day we were talking about it, we were like, you know, over in Sweden, it's very popular to try to write for other artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, you know, the, I don't know, most people don't know that Max Martin, who's a Swede, is responsible for writing the third, of all the number one hits ever.
Mm-hmm.
The two highest are Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
Number three is Max Martin.
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, of course. And people outside music, most people in music might not even know his name, but he has written for decades now all the, you know, from Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time, Oops, I Did It Again, you know, NSYNC, Bye Bye, you know, all these hits, Oh, and he wrote the entire Taylor Swift album all these albums you're listening to, the Katy Perry songs, the Rihanna songs, that, you know, that all these pop songs that people think, oh, I love that artist. You're like, well, you might love their vocal. You know, like, really, you're listening to one Swedish guy's songs, sung by every pop artist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unbelievable when you think about it. And outside America and the UK, because of Max Martin and his, you know, maybe eight people like Dr. Luke and Rami and, you know, Shellback and, you know, maybe a handful of Swedish guys, they are dominating the writing of pop songs.
Yeah.
Or anything you hear on Top 40 radio, it's probably written by like five different Swedish guys.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are Max.
Isn't that interesting?
It's really fascinating. So behind the America and the UK, Sweden, which is the size of basically New York, it's a tiny little country with only 9 million people, less people than in New York City.
Hmm.
They are responsible for the most the output of popular music, just behind America and the UK.
Wow.
In the world.
Rami's sense of, I think, melody and song, I guess, structure is so strong. Like you said, the body of work he's already done. But also in the two songs that he was a part of on this current album, Veers Onward and Sideways. Especially the song Angels. That also had a very unique and beautiful sound, kind of a pop sensibility to it, which isn't surprising given his background.
Yeah. He's just a great guy. And he, luckily for me, because I could never afford him, he gave me a fantastic friend rate.
Ah.
Because, you know, these are the guys that get hired by huge record companies, and they say, okay, like I said, he wrote that song, You Don't Know You're Beautiful, the One Direction song.
Oh, yeah.
He produced and wrote and produced that entire album that probably sold a gazillion albums. And, you know, not my genre, but but again, I found it very interesting working with someone who's coming from that perspective. And like I said, we were friends before that, so it was great. What happened was, I started that story before, and then I went off on a tangent, but as I often do. we were just friends, and I went by his studio one day when I was hanging out in Stockholm. And he said, let's try to write a song for someone else, you know, because that's what they do. They write songs and, for other bands like One Direction or, you know, Nicki Minaj or, you know, people like this. And so I said, I've never done that before. I'd like to try, you know, try to open up, use a different muscle in my songwriting brain, see what that's like.
Mm.
Maybe it would maybe provide some sort of a sense of freedom where I'm not, you know, beholden to what I do on stage or something like that. And so we started writing the song, and it ended up being Belong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ended up being like, well, it just started sounding like a song that I write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how to write these songs for other people. What comes out of me is me. So that's what happened with Angels too. It was just those two songs. I don't normally co-write with people, but he's such a strong writer that I felt like, all right, let's try it.
Yeah.
And they really came out of trying to, those songs were songs that started as songs we tried to write for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, no, and I fell in love with them. And I was like, I want these songs. So I just kept them.
Well, as you said earlier, all of these songs on this new album, Onward and Sideways, were really love letters coming, pouring out of your heart to your now beloved.
Yeah.
I do want to go to the song Angels, another beautiful song on this album.
Thanks.
I don't have the words in front of me, but basically, can you share a little bit about where that song came from?
Yeah, well, that's one of the first songs I wrote for this album.
Okay.
It's a song where I wrote half the lyrics when before I started wooing this special lady that the album is about.
Yes.
And then the other half of the lyrics, after we started, or after I decided to start wooing her. So it's basically a song about initially feeling frustrated, like being surrounded by a bunch of friends of mine at the age I'm at now, where they're all either married or in relationships or whatever, and being the only single guy, it was very frustrating because, you know, it's, you know, I'd get jealous in seeing my friend so happy with their being in love. And I was wondering, when's that going to happen for me?
Yeah.
When's this angel going to fall into my arms?
Mm.
And then when I decided to woo this woman, then the rest of the lyrics unfolded.
Mm. My guest today is songwriter, performer Joshua Raid, and we're talking about his new album, Onward and Sideways. Joshua will also be here in Indianapolis on February 15th. At the end of the interview, I'll have more information. But first, here's another cut off this great album called Angels.
It's been a long time that I've been on my own, and I can't take no more. But these winds are changing, they'll blow me through the storm until I see the shore. And I'm praying for someone to show me I'm not done. Sometimes I see your face. You've got everything I need. When I'm lost, it's only you I seek. You've got wings to set me free. When I doubt, you're making me believe that angels can fall. Angels can fall. And I'll cross the ocean, I'll walk the desert sand, I'll find those hills to climb. Searching, 'cause I know you want to land into these arms of mine. On this road that I'm walking, I hear you talking, I know I'll find you soon. You've got everything I need. When I'm lost, it's only
Joshua, you had a lot of success early on with the song Winter in the TV show Scrubs, and since then, your music's been in a ton of movies and TV shows, and of course now, commercials. What about your music do you think fits so well to soundtracking moments on film?
Well, they're emotional songs.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's sort of like, I've heard music editors and directors, TV show editors and film editors, who are a lot of the times the people who are temping in songs to let the director, you know, hear a song and see if it works attached to the visual. I think, you know, a lot of times I've heard from them that if they've got an emotional scene, they're looking for a song that fits that scene, that's very emotional, and I'm one of the first people they think about when they try in a few of my songs, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know, I think it's, you know, my song ends up being sort of the gravy in the scene. It's just an extra push.
Yeah.
to pull the emotion out of the viewer.
Mm. And what has been one of the most surprising things for you to come out of this album?
That she actually fell in love with me.
And there's no pressure to keep writing songs.
Well, no, I would say it's the exact opposite. Uh-huh. You know, when you find the right woman, you're wooing her forever.
Yeah, yeah, and isn't that a great feeling?
I feel lucky to be able to do it, but I certainly, you never feel like you've won. You know what I mean? It's not like a race with a finish line. You're just happy to be a participant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, tell us about your involvement with Little Kids Rock.
Well, it's the only charitable organization I work with, because I'm not like I said, I'm a guy. I guess I look at it like I'm not a guy with tons of friends. I have a few really, really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a guy with tons of girls. I have one girl at a time that I really love, you know, and put everything into it. And it's the same with charity. I don't show up for every benefit. I don't, you know, if I find one thing that's very passionate, that I feel very passionate about, and that's what I put my time into. And that's Little Kids Rock when it comes to charitable organizations, because I love working with kids, and I love working with underprivileged kids, because, it's amazing the change you can make in someone's life when you get to them early.
Yeah.
And that's why years before I was a musician, I wanted to be a teacher and was a teacher for kids, mm-hmm. for underprivileged kids, because, you know, changes happen in this world generationally, you know? It's great when you want to, and that any charitable organization is great. Mm-hmm. Anytime mm-hmm. you're giving back to anything, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I get very passionate about trying to make a change in the youth, because, you know, nothing, it's almost impossible to change the world overnight, you know? I mean, Facebook's kind of doing it, but I'm not a computer person, so I don't know. I have to do it kid by kid.
Yeah.
And so it's a great organization. I visit the schools when I'm on tour. You go into the inner cities, and I go into schools where music programs have been cut because of lack of funding.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching kids to not only be creative musically, and donating time and money so that they have instruments to play and teachers to teach them. When I go in and I deal and I talk to these kids, it's really more about helping them understand that, you know, when I first started going into these schools, a lot of them would be asking me questions, and they still do, about money.
Mm-hmm.
And about monetary success, which is totally understandable because they're coming from an underprivileged place. So a lot of them think, like most people think, that money is the answer to your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, okay, it will solve a lot of problems, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be the overall thing, and that to solve their problems, and that's what I try to tell them, is that never do anything for the money. Always do something for the passion of it. And it's easy to say when you're not on food stamps, like, you know.
Yeah,
of
right,
course,
right.
You know, very easy to say, but it's something I try to reinforce over and over again in their minds, that if you do something that you're really passionate about, even mm-hmm. if it's not music, or mm-hmm. even if it's not something that's artistic,
right.
to just do something that you're passionate about, and if you love it, the money will come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that the money's just the gravy on top.
Yeah.
If you get to do something every day that you love, that's the dream. That's when you'll be happy, because I tell them over and over again, I live in L.A. I'm surrounded by people with tons of money, and I can count on one hand the amount of people I've met who are millionaires who are happy.
Mm. Hmm. You do have a unique and beautiful perspective to share with these young people, given the work that you do.
I try, you know, yeah. I try. But it also, it's a double, it's a win-win, because mm-hmm. they inspire me.
Right.
It's not just me being selfless, and you know, I love it, sometimes when I'm on the road, I get so exhausted doing interviews and getting up early to go into radio stations. And, you know, that's what most people don't understand. The work is not the actual writing music, recording music, playing music. That's the gift.
Right.
That's what, yeah, all the other stuff, the travel, the sleepless nights, the sleepless mornings, the answering the same questions over and over again. That's the work. You know, the 23 hours of the day, that's the work. It's the hour on stage every night that's the gift. Mm-hmm. That's what you do it for. So when I'm exhausted and I sometimes am so run down and I'm like, I lose that perspective, it really helps me to visit these kids. It reminds me why I do this.
Yeah. I love this new album, Onward and Sideways. And again, you're going to be coming
Thank you so much.
Well, you're going to be coming here to Indianapolis February 15th, part of the tour.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't even realize that because I don't have the tour dates in front of me, but it is a love letter, the entire album. And your listeners should be, if any, I know most of my listeners I've seen at least are, I skew female.
Yes.
I think because it's a lot of love. But the guys who are listening, if you want to bring, if you want a good Valentine's Day gift, bring a woman, either that you're in love with or you're trying to make fall in love with you, and I will help you.
Yes, well, thank you for that perfect timing of coming here on Valentine's Day weekend. Joshua Radin, it's been a joy to have you on the program. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Richard. You're a great interviewer, and there aren't many of them left.
Well, blessings to you, sir.
Cheers, buddy.
Here's another track off that great album. The song is called In Your Hands.
My, oh my, this hair of gold. Pull it back from over your eyes. I know you're scared and alone, but you don't have to hide. Take your time, so I'll set you free. I don't want you when you're blind, and in time you'll come back to me. So I'll wait for that day when I hear you say, don't drop me. I'm open to land in your hands. And if you don't believe, I promise to make you see. I'll come find you, remind you it's time. You are mine, forever mine. Winter setting in, 2 days since auld lang syne. And you don't like the shape you're in. This year there's peace to find. But if you feel like you could fall, maybe I could fall too. But if you give it, give it all, as if you promise me the best of you, then I'll wait for that day when I hear you say, don't drop me, 'cause I'm open to land in your hands. To make you see, I'll come find you, remind you it's time. You are mine, forever mine. You're scared if you wait too long. Your light won't guide me home.
must go it alone. Till then I'll wait for that day when I hear you say, don't drop me, 'cause I'm hoping to land in your hands. And if you don't believe, I promise to make you see.
Closing, here's a story from a small coastal village. Once upon a time, there was an investment banker. He lived in New York City, was phenomenally successful, and made a ton of money. But his life was busy, noisy, and very stressful. So, once a year, he would leave the city and go down to a small coastal village in Mexico. For 2 weeks, he would rest, relax, and allow himself to be rejuvenated. One day he was standing on the pier just before lunch, looking out to sea, when he noticed a small fishing boat coming into dock. He thought this was a little strange because most of the fishermen used to stay out late into the afternoon so they could catch as many fish as possible before coming in and preparing the fish for market. Curiosity overcame him, so he walked over to where the fishing boat was about to dock. Looking into the boat, he saw just one fisherman and several large yellowfin tuna. "How long did it take you to catch those fish?" he said to the fisherman. "Not very long," the fisherman replied with a smile. "Is there something wrong with your boat?" the American asked. "Oh, no," the fisherman said. "In 13 years, I've never had a problem with the boat." The American was a little perplexed, so he asked the fisherman, "Why don't you stay out there longer and catch more fish?" The fisherman smiled again and said, "Well, I have plenty for my family's immediate needs. Some of the fish we can eat, and the others we can sell or trade for the other things we need. But it's not even lunchtime. What do you do with the rest of your time?" "In the morning," the fisherman explained, "I like to sleep late. And when I wake, I fish a little, mostly just for the pleasure of fishing. In the afternoon, I play with my children and take siesta with my wife. In the evenings, I have dinner with my family. And then, when my children are sleeping, I stroll into the village where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos." The American scoffed and said, "I'm a Harvard MBA, and I can help you." The fisherman was a little skeptical, but nonetheless he obliged and asked, "How?" "Well, you should fish longer, every day," the American counseled, "late into the afternoon. This way you'll catch more fish. Make more money, and you can buy a bigger boat. And with a bigger boat, you'll catch even more fish, make even more money, and then you can buy another boat and hire another man to work the second boat." "But what then?" the fisherman inquired. "Oh, we're just getting started," the American volleyed. "With 2 boats, you'll catch even more fish and make even more money. And before you know it, you'll have a whole fleet of boats, and every man in the village looking for work will come to you." "But what then?" the fisherman asked. "Well, before too long, you can cut out the middleman, sell your fish direct to the cannery, and make more money. As your fleet of boats continues to expand, you can build your own cannery, and before you know it, you'll be able to leave this small coastal village, move to Mexico City, and manage your expanding enterprise." "But what then?" the fisherman persisted. "Well, then you can begin to ship your fish to different parts of the world, down into Asia and Australia and up into North America. And as demand grows for your fish, you can leave Mexico City, move to Los Angeles, open a distribution plant there, and begin to ship your fish to Europe and every corner of the globe." "But what then?" the fisherman asked again. The American continued, "Well, by then, your business will be one of the great ventures of the industry. You can move to New York City and manage your empire from the epicenter of the business world." Well, how long will that take? The fisherman asked. 25, maybe 30 years, the banker explained. But what will I do then? The fisherman asked. The American's eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. That's the best part, he said. When the time is just right, you can go down to Wall Street, list your business as a public company, offer an IPO, and make millions and millions of dollars. Millions? The fisherman asked. More money than you ever dreamed you could earn in 10 lifetimes, the American explained. But what then? The fisherman asked. Well, the American didn't know what to say. He was stumped. But then a thought crossed his mind and triggered an idea, and he turned once more to the fisherman and spoke. Well, then, you could move to a small coastal village. You could sleep late. You could fish just for the pleasure of fishing. In the afternoons, you could take siesta with your wife. In the evenings, you could have dinner with your family. And then you could stroll into the village and sip wine and play guitar with your amigos. Perhaps the time is now to truly enjoy life and maybe even fall in love. Hey, the day after Valentine's Day, Joshua Radin's going to be here at the Old National Center. New album out, Onward and Sideways. And that is today's program. I want to thank you for joining us. Our website is richardbrendan.com. For senior producer Lisa Morrison, engineer Joe Bainline, and production coordinator Kate Miller, I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.